read our text. I think it was Joe was praying, and he said something I think is very apropos and something that we need to hear. Some of you are not mothers. All of you have had mothers. You wouldn't be here if that wasn't true. But some of you have not mothered, but yet, as he prayed, you have been a nurturer. And that's really what a mother is a nurturer. And so, where are all the young people in the back? No, not the, all these are missing. The McLean family is missing here. There seems to be in our current culture, for lack of words, a lack of respect and honoring of parents, both mothers and fathers. I had a very godly mother, but a very difficult mother, and yet at the same time, as I moved on into my own life, I appreciate what she did for me. Not always in the way I would have done it, but I'm not a mother. I should have got a laugh, but I guess it's... So there's many ways that we can look at these scriptures, which are about a woman. It's called above my Bible. It says the virtuous wife. As husbands, we all long for virtuous wives. Amen, amen. Gentlemen. But I want us to look at just a few verses here, verses 10 through 20, and we're going to just, that'll be your outline to follow along as we go through this. Proverbs 31, and we'll be beginning at the 10th verse. Now let's pray. Father, as we open your word, Lord, these words that were written so many years ago by Solomon, Lord, but he received your wisdom. That was the one thing that he asked for, and you gave it to him fully. I pray that you would minister these words not only to the mothers, but even to us as men. Lord, we're all called to be nurturers, compassionate people for those that need compassion, for those that need mercy, those that need grace, especially for those that need love, which is everyone. And I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you have demonstrated your love for us by sending your Son into this world. And because of that, we are able to call you Father. By his blood, we have become children of the living God. And so I know these words come from your heart, from your Father heart. I pray that you would bless them to our hearing. Bless us from every angle, from sons and daughters of mothers, mothers to sons and daughters, nurturers to those that need nurturing. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 31, beginning at the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. It's an interesting thing that these proverbs are all laid out with each verse beginning with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's a beautiful order to this. Matthew Poole, who was a great Puritan preacher and commentator on the Word, said that this is to oblige us to the more diligent considerations and careful remembrance of them as things of more than ordinary importance. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, and so I can't read Hebrew, But I would imagine if you were reading that in the order that Matthew Poole comments on here, it really, when something has an order to it, it usually has a very important significance in our lives. And so I'm going to try to be orderly here as we go through this. As we're reading these verses regarding wives and mothers, there's a great sense of worth. And it's way beyond monetary worth. I remember once hearing someone say that mothers, if they had a salary, would be probably some of them making five figures and maybe others making six figures. You know, they really, with the work and the hours that they put in. Author and preacher Tony Campolo said that when his wife Peggy was at home full time with her children and someone would ask her, well, what is it that you do? And she would respond this way, I'm socializing two Homo sapiens into dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. And Peggy would ask the other person, and what do you do? As I said before, in our current culture, motherhood is not held in the high regard that it should be. I think sometimes that's because of absentee fathers, and we see mothers having to struggle, and God put us together as parents to encourage and hold one another up. Women are often having their worth in our current culture measured by what it is they do in the workplace and how successful they are and what level. If they've reached an executive position, then they've reached the pinnacle, right? It's no wonder that there's confusion in the home, and consequently there's often a severe void in the family unit because of that. A woman who has aspired to being a wife and a mother after the heart of God, who gives her life for her family, should receive the highest esteem. And I just look out at you now, those of you who are mothers, those of you who are nurturers, and I do. I look at my wife and I have to say I hold you in highest esteem. And those of you who I know and don't know, the same thing is true. We see, when our culture and our media really comes against God, our current culture is really a godless in many ways. Our media is godless. In fact, Christians are often ridiculed and sometimes persecuted, even in this country. In the Old Testament, Israel motherhood was looked up to, and God himself made a very concrete statement in this regard. In Genesis 3:20, Eve's name means life or living. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. So I think about a household where there's one child or two children or three. That's the mother of those who are living there, literally, right? But in Eve, in Adam and Eve, we have that. She's the mother of all living. All successive generations came down from the Garden of Eden. Genesis 17:16, Abraham regarding Sarah said, I will bless her and give you a son by her, then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then there was the blessing of Rebekah when she was sent off to marry Isaac in Genesis 24:60. It says, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. I want to be careful I don't pause too long on some of these things, because they're really powerful statements, aren't they? I mean, when you think about Israel and the history of Israel and possessing the land that God had given them, mothers were considered to highly influence the culture, both at the community level and at the national level. Israel is a matriarchal society in many ways. In other words, in verse 12, when it says this, it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. It's speaking about the virtuous wife. And by the way, virtuous in the Hebrew is chayil, and it means a force, valor, strength. Source, a force, valor, and strength. Leo Tolstoy in The Lion and the Honeycomb wrote the following, women who fulfill their vocation hold power even over powerful men. Such women mold public opinion, and prepare future generations. And so it is they who would hold the power to save people from all our present and impending evils. Yes, women, mothers, in your hands more than in those of anyone else lies the salvation of the world. Now, I want to be careful. We know that that only lies in the hands of the Lord, right? But there is a truth in that, as mothers nurture. And that's what Tolstoy was getting at when he was saying, in your hands, more than in those of anyone else lies the salvation of the world. Obviously, he's referring to the quality of the leaders that are produced in our country. I'm sure many political leaders today are a disappointment to their mothers. Anybody out there? The virtuous wife whose worth is far beyond monetary value is a real blessing to her husband. And I love that what it says there at the in verse 12, she doesn't, in verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her so he will have no lack of gain. How many of you men in this room trust your wives implicitly? Yeah. From the youngest to the oldest. Now, you need to have wisdom. You know, doesn't mean that you just trust her when she's doing things that are, you know, buying things that you don't can't afford to have. Or oh, I'm hoping this is wisdom from God here, you know. All right, elevate this, right? Get yeah, go, is that go on, Marilyn? Bring the level back. Okay. Really, what Solomon is saying there is that we really trust and are confident in the ability of them as wives and as mothers. We had this conversation yesterday. We were in New York, the Botanical Gardens, by the way. If you get a chance, go to the Botanical Gardens in Brooklyn. It's absolutely astounding. Get back on track. We had this conversation, and I'm because of my age, I don't remember the past too well. But there was a question was asked when the children moved out of home. Did you miss them? I was informed by my wife that she did, but I didn't. And I argue with that a bit, but I understand when you have teenagers in your house and they leave home, there is a resting place that happens, you know? So I think that's what they were talking about. But mothers don't, and I know this from my observing my wife, when your children leave home, mothers really take it hard. They just miss their children terribly. Again, I believe that our culture has done much to tear down the excellent attributes of mothers in the home. And we have generations that are often clueless because motherhood has not been taught or modeled for them. I don't want to get into why. There are many different reasons. It's not just the daughters who are affected, but the sons as well, who have not only witnessed these gifts and talents, but they've not even been taught the value of them. There's nothing more beautiful in this world than a godly woman. And she doesn't have to be beautiful like the world looks at beautiful, because there's a beauty of the heart in a godly woman. Fathers have not been in the place of safely trusting, children lose out on the tremendous blessing that is promised to us in the commandments. Ephesians 6, which echoes Deuteronomy 5:16, says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. See, the husband's heart is so confident in his wife's judgment and her knowledge of what is needed by the family. Mothers really know what's needed by the family. And part of that is today husbands and wives, mothers and fathers both go out to work, and it's, some of it's out of necessity. We are living in an economic disaster, are we not? I grew up when gasoline was 19 cents a gallon, 21 cents a gallon, you know. And so it's difficult. But I think a part of the difficulty is discerning. And now I'm going to might step on some toes, but that's okay. Part of it is discerning what our needs are. And some of us have needs that we feel that have to be met that actually are luxuries that we want. And so the godly wife and mother knows what her family needs. Because she's a gatherer and a protector. I can look out at you. There's one mom here that I don't know, but you homeschool, which I think is probably part of your gathering and protecting your children. But all the mothers that I know in this church, I've known them now for a few years, and I see you as gatherers and protectors, and I'm getting to know you from a distance, but hopefully sooner. Boy, when there's few people here, it's hard not to just talk to you. You know? She's a gatherer and protector, and men often don't understand the nature of the mother until, in terms of their wife, until their wife becomes one. I remember when our first child was born, we had both of our children at home in New York City, and when Colin was born, we were living in a studio apartment on West 10th Street, and I got to be with my wife sitting behind her, looking over her shoulders and watching Colin being born, and it's like, I still remember that day like it was yesterday. And then holding him in the palm of my hand and then carrying him in a snuggly around the village. And my wife said, "You're acting like a Bantam rooster. You know, this is my boy. You know, you want to see my boy?" And then when the second one came along on the 28th floor, I remember my wife was strolling back and forth in the hall. It was getting near the point of she was having the contractions, and I went to her and I said, "Can I help?" She says, "Get out of my way." Wives change when they become mothers, don't they? But I think it's so much for the better. There's a beauty that comes out in moms when they have children. There's that nesting and that nurturing transformation that takes place. And we as men, listen to me men, we need to praise God for that. See, there's an overflow to us, isn't there? Men, you remember when your first, there's an overflow of that love. She doesn't become your mother. Never should she become your mother. But there is that overflow of the nurturing and the love and the radiance. I think there's incredible radiance on the women's faces when you think of the pain they go through and then the joy that happens when that baby comes out and they look and they're radiant, and that's a miracle of God. So it says that the in verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Again, the definition of gain here needs to be clarified. Perhaps one of the greatest definitions or descriptions of the gain that is needful is the one that we find in Ephesians. When you turn there in your Bibles with me, please, to Ephesians 3. And I know our adult Sunday school class has been through, and you're almost completely through with Ephesians, but a little trip back here. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." See, those are the riches. Church, we have to get back. We have to get back to that. Knowing what our true riches are, it's not the things we have. They're all going to turn to rust, right? But the riches that we have in Christ are forever. They're for all eternity. And so take that back there when it says in the heart of her husband safely trusted, so he will have no lack of gain. Godliness in that woman. We have no lack of gain. We have no lack of all that he supplies. You know, you become a mother and then you become a father, and all of a sudden your life changes completely, and it's not about what you have. It's about what you give. And mothers are givers and fathers are givers as well. We need to pray this prayer for one another, by the way, which is Paul's prayer. Mothers, fathers, children, it needs to be our heart to pray this prayer. Now, verse 12, it says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Praise God for that. That's a most excellent declaration. What a thrilling possibility. How many of you are still aware that you're sinners saved by grace? And you have moments, right? You have moments when this is not what is going on. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What man would not lay down his life for such a wife as this? Amen? What son or daughter's heart would not be melted by such a mother as this? But as I said, we still know that sin enters in. And moms have a bad day, just like fathers may have a bad day. That's when you need to wrap your arm around her, and if she allows you to do that, put your hand on her and pray for her. Love her in that way. We're talking about women here who are filled with the Holy Spirit and who desire to live for and please and worship God with their whole life. And what a blessing they are, and what gain to us as men. Again, this is not the norm. It has been discouraged as we live in an era where self-sacrifice is not prominent, is it? There's a lot more selfishness going on than there should be. And so we need to be self-sacrificing to our wives and mothers, to their children and to their husbands, and vice versa. I really believe that we could turn the culture upside down if we modeled these things. We're going to look at 8 gifts here that we receive from our wives and from our mothers, okay? And so let's look at verse 13. Now this is back in time, all right? This is maybe 4,000 years ago or so, 3,500. It says, she seeks wool and flax. Are there anybody? I know there's some women here who do wool and flax. Knitters? Are there knitters here? Crocheters? Wool, flax? And willingly works, that's the key part, and willingly works with her hands. I want to just say with thanksgiving, this is about mother's hands. She makes clothing for her family. Well, sometimes she goes out and buys it at TJ Maxx or wherever it might be on sale. I get paid, by the way. You might say, hey, I don't know how to sew or knit. I never learned to do that. Let me ask you, have you raised your children? Have you changed their diapers? Making sure that they're clean and dry, clothe them according to the seasons of the year? Sure you have. And that's your heart. It's desire, and your hands have been busy doing that. I remember watching my wife, and even doing it myself when it snows and your kids are you're trying to get the snowsuit on them. You talk about busy hands, you know, struggling hands, and they're kicking and screaming, and I don't want that on, you know. They go barefoot in the snow if you'd let them, right? You even make sure that your husband, and this is very personal, whose taste is not the greatest, gets that new shirt that makes him look good. You clothe, you wash, you dry the laundry, you take things to the cleaners, you pick them up. You mothers have loving, loving hands, and we are so grateful for that today. I just commend you for the hands that God has given you to be so merciful and gracious and loving as you use them in serving your family and serving others. Remember, this is about caregivers as well. Ruth Graham put it this way, as a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible. What a good perspective. Let me say that again. As a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible. And it says there in verse 13, and willingly works with her hands. You know, I often think if mothers would stretch out their hands, they'd have so many stories to tell. Think about it. With all that they've done, all that their hands do. So thank you, moms, for your hands and nurturers for your hands. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. And I laughed when I read that before, because when we go down an aisle in a grocery store now, and you don't have merchant ships bringing that in. In a way you do, but you don't have to do that. But I just want to, this is about, before his mom's hands, this is about mom's kitchen. How many of you appreciate your mother's kitchen? Well, some of us do. Yeah. Some of you might never have learned to cook and you're still struggling with that, but, our mothers, are very creative, and many times, and I know this from personal experience, they take little in the kitchen and they make much out of it. Whereas fathers like myself, I've been told by my family, Michael, you're mixing too many seasonings, that this is awful, you're throwing the kitchen sink in here, you know? It doesn't work. Again, in the cultural context, the mother would have made things from wool and flax to take to market. And that's where this, if we take this back in time, they would barter. They would take things that they'd made to market to get food. I remember even as a little boy in the Canary Islands that with an economy that was very difficult, poverty, there was a lot of bartering going on. If you've ever lived in that kind of culture, it's definitely interesting. But the heart, the mindset is one that we should still have to make mom's kitchen that special place. As difficult as my mom was, and I gotta, Lord forgive me, my memories of her are those places that she would have. And when I was a little boy in Burbank, California, there was a booth in the kitchen. It was like an alcove. It was like those, it was almost like being in a restaurant. That place was really sacred in so many ways, because that's where we would all sit as a family. We live in a culture of eat and run, don't we? Fast food. It's part of this thing is missing that the family around the table. And I'm sure if you don't do that, you yearn to be able to do that. Again, I think we need to rethink our needs, versus our luxuries. It may mean that we have to simplify. There's a secondary thing about mothers' kitchens, and that is a place of training where moms of the future are learning from their mothers. And yes, husbands and sons can learn a thing or two about preparing food from afar. Those of you who are hunters, you go out and you do that, right? And you bring it home. Verse 15. So we have mother's hands and mother's kitchen. Verse 15, look at that verse. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Again, I understand this is back in time. Mothers are an early riser, especially when the kids are little, right? Got to get up early. Got to get their lunches prepared. Got to have breakfast. Get them out the door with a healthy breakfast. And of course, I think children today are often, they're not cooperative and they want to run out the door, forgetting their lunches and not even having a good breakfast. So it's not mom's fault. Again, there's a heart of protector and provider, in this. For many of you, this early rising, and let me just suggest this, this early rising should be the time when you spend quiet time alone with the Lord. I remember as a father, that was so important to me in fact, today, I love getting up before everybody else gets up. You know? this very special time. But moms, if you can do that, if you have the energy to do that, find that quiet time with the Lord, to be alone with Him, and lifting your children and your husband to Him in prayer, reading His Word. Jesus knows all about this hour. He knows all about being busy the evening before. The Gospel of Mark tells us that when Jesus had healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, that he had been healing people all evening. They brought people, and he was healing everyone that was coming from a distance. But the next morning, he got up early before everybody else, and he went to the mountain to be alone with the Father and to pray. And so, moms, I just really encourage you that you would have that time. And husbands, if you can help in that, to make that time possible. It says, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, Mark 1:35, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So just think about that, moms, tomorrow morning when you get up. Get up early. Spend some time with the Lord. So thank you, moms, for your early rising when you do that. Again, there's no guilt in this, all right? All right, please. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Okay, again, I know that many of you have seen a good field and bought it and planted a vineyard or a garden. But let's consider, not many of you have done that. Let's consider what these words are saying to us about a good wife and mother. And that is, she's a good investor. Okay? She sees what's good for her husband and her children, and she seeks that out. Whether it be the right food for them to eat, the right clothing for them to wear, that's all part of it. You are planting seeds in that field that you have invested in. You see, that's what God is asking of you, to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your hope in Him for the work that He will accomplish in each one of your children. His timing, His harvest, listen to me carefully, His timing and His harvest does not always happen as you desperately want. I know there are children in this church family that have walked away from the Lord, and they've walked away in cases where they had praying moms and praying fathers. Don't ever stop praying. Because God in His timing, I believe with all my heart, He will bring them home. So you keep on investing. Here's the thing about this kind of investing. He brings the returns. God brings the returns. Amen? So we want to thank you, moms, for being investors in the fields of your families. May God immensely bless you as you continue investing. And let me just say this. Your major investment in the lives of your children are your prayers. I believe God answers prayer. God is the one who orchestrates in your life and the life of your children, and your prayers are part of that as you cry out to Him. Number 5, verse 17. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. My wife is a mom, and the wives that I know or mothers that I know are usually determined to be strong, and they're diligent in being strong. She applies herself to the task of being strong. This is not just physical strength we're talking about here. Mothers have a strength that they do have physical. Let me tell you a story that I heard many, many years ago. True story. It happened in my neighborhood, as a fact, in Burbank, California. Back when cars weighed, what did a Chrysler back, you older people, Chrysler weigh back in the 50s? Probably 4,000 pounds, easy, 2 tons. And, the mother was looking out the window of the house that faced the driveway. Her teenage son had the car up on a jack, and the jack slipped and the car fell on him. The father ran out to jack the car up. The mom ran out behind him. She was 4'9" and weighed about 100 pounds, and she lifted that car off of her boy. So mothers, you are strong. Okay? And I think when you're really strong, I think of, you know, what does a lion do when its cub is affected, you know? You know, there's that strength that comes in. But this is not only physical strength. There are those days. How many of you have days as moms when you just feel really weak? Yeah, one of you, my wife. I hope to be your strength. No. When you're weak, he is what? He is strong. And that's what you need to really remember here. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. And I believe, you know, when girding means to me, it means to put something on. And I say, put on Christ. Gird yourself with him. He'll give you the strength that you need for not only physical strength, but emotional, physical, spiritual strength. This is when you need to be reminded that in your weakness he's strong. Amen. Remember the power of Jesus, Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Let me ask you, moms, are you yielding? And all of you women, fathers too, are you yielding to that resurrection power in your life? Because it's the only way you're going to fly through the storms in this life. Amen. Number 6, verse 18. Excuse me. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. This is really about a mother's constancy, being consistent. She perceives that her merchandise is good. In other words, she knows the value of her labors. She won't let society, listen to me, she won't let society or culture bring her down. And I have seen this in our culture. I've seen women who are high-powered executives. They think that because you're a mother, you're not there. Don't let that ever put you down. Okay? Her lamp does not go out by night. In other words, it doesn't mean that she never sleeps, but rather it lets us know how deeply she cares, how tirelessly she sacrifices her life for those she loves, for her husband and her children. Thank you, moms, for your constant and being diligent as you labor for us all. Again, we are aware of the fact that this is not always easy. In some cases, please forgive us when we haven't made it easy. Husbands, we need to say that to our wives when that's true. We haven't made it easy for you. Forgive me for that. Christ in you that will make you constant in your loving service to your family. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, all the days of your life. Number 7, verse 19. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. In those times, even a woman of high socioeconomic standing worked the spinning wheel, thereby teaching her servants how to do the same. Even in the early days of our country, this was true. The term, by the way, the term spinster, you know where it comes from? It comes from spins at the spinning wheel. I fear that our culture and our media, which calls for and promotes entertainment in high dosages, comes against this wonderful gift of mothers as teachers and examples of labor in the home. Proverbs 14:23 says, "In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to gossip." Thank you, moms, for teaching us to work. And finally, number 8, mothers are givers. Verse 20, and she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. You are such examples to us of giving with your own children, and you will go without so that they might have. How many of you moms have experienced that in your life? Where you just, and those of you who are nurturers, you'll go without so somebody else can have. The second daughter of Queen Victoria was Princess Alice. Her son at the age of 4 was infected with a horrible affliction known as black diphtheria. So the doctors quarantined the boy and told the mother to stay away, but she couldn't. One day she overheard him whisper to the nurse, "Why doesn't my mother kiss me anymore?" His words melted her heart and she ran to her son and smothered him with kisses, and within a few days both of them were buried. Talk about the heart of a mom. So the mother described in this Proverb 20 here is a woman that goes beyond the needs of her own to see and to give to others. And we need to see this exemplified in the me generation in which we live, don't we? I want to challenge you, moms, to always be aware of those who are in need around you. Okay? 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." Luke 6:36, Jesus said, "Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father who is merciful." And so, moms, we want to thank you this morning for your mercy and for your kindness. I want to close with a true story that really illustrates the fact that next to God, our mothers know us better than anyone else. Those of you who are mothers, are you aware of that? Those of us who are children. I've been a grown man and been around my mother after being absent for 10 years, not seeing because I lived overseas. And she still knew who I was. She hadn't accepted some of the changes that have been made. In fact, she returned me to my childhood, which I thought was kind of interesting. But that's because I was away from her for so long. So we'll close with this story. And just let me remind you, prayers of thanksgiving for moms, for their hands, for their kitchen, for their early rising, for their great investors, being great investors, for the strength they have, for their constancy, for the example and teachers of labor or work, and for givers of themselves. This is an amazing story. In 1997, there was a rapidly moving blaze that destroyed the Philadelphia home of Luz, which is light in Spanish, Cuevas. It was concluded that tragically the fire had killed and completely consumed her 10-day-old infant daughter, Delamar. Amid the charred rubble of the family home, the small body was never found. The family grieved and slowly moved on with life. It was 6 years later that Luz Cuevas was invited to a child's birthday party. There, a small dimple on the face of a six-year-old girl triggered an overwhelming instinct in Luz. She quietly told her sister, "Look, she's my daughter." The sister thought Luz was losing her mind, but the mother could not be convinced she was mistaken. Telling the little girl she had gum in her hair, Luz managed to take a few strands of hair from the child in hopes a DNA test would prove her instincts right. Subsequently, the Philadelphia police confirmed that the child was Delamar, Luz's lost daughter. Delamar had been kidnapped and raised by Carolyn Correa, who started the fire to cover the crime. After 6 years of death, she returned home to be with her real family. Very much alive. And just as this mother knows her daughter, so God knows us in the infinite degree. Father, we thank you this morning for our moms. We thank you for all of the women in this room that are nurturers, Lord. They're nurturers because you've made them to be that. And so, Lord, we want to just tell you how much we appreciate them as wives, as mothers, as sisters in Christ. And I just pray this morning that you will pour out your blessing upon them. Lord, I pray that all of these things that we've looked at in the Proverbs would not be in any way discouraging, but that they would be encouraged. Lord, we all need to receive, Lord, encouragement. So I just pray your encouragement over each one of them. Lord, for those that might be going through difficulties with at home, difficulties with older children that are far from home and perhaps even far from you. Lord, we pray for them right now. And we pray that you would hear the cries of the mom's hearts in this room and the father's as well. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that for moms that you've used to bring all of us into this world. We bless them today in your name. And we give you all the glory. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe that after our closing song, do we do that? We'll do our closing song and then there's some gifts for them.
They're finishing up.
They're finishing up. Okay.